I want you to think and use your imagination this morning regarding the word fresh. So think about that word. Thank you, Braxton. Think about the word fresh. So I'd like for you, with people that are just sitting right there near you, get in a conversation, and what's the first image that comes to your mind when you think of the word fresh? Discuss that right where you're at, okay? Okay. Sophie, what's the first thing that pops in your mind when you think of fresh? Fruit, okay? Dennis, fresh food. Ava, fresh bread. Oh, right? Right? Man. Tyler Paul, what do you think of? At what? A mountain, okay. Di, what did you think of?
I thought
fresh breath.
Fresh breath,
okay. Mom?
All of the above.
All of the above, okay. All right. Anna thought of fresh as in like new, like fresh vegetables and so on. So if you'll go, well, I'll do it myself right here. So some of the images that we can get of Anna, does this kind of like an image that kind of fit what you were talking about, right? A fresh start also, when you think of something being fresh. Getting a new lease on life, fresh. So some of the words that start popping up then, you know, are clean, new, clear. Some of those are some of the words that pop up. These are some of the ones that I thought of. A fresh start, fresh food, a fresh season, fresh reasons, fresh perspective, fresh opportunities, fresh air. What did you say that came to your mind that we haven't mentioned yet? Anybody?
Fresh coffee.
Fresh coffee, right? Oh, that goes along with Ava's fresh bread, right? Now you're making me hungry, you two. Anybody else? John?
Fresh beginnings.
There you go. That's good. Anybody else? Kathy? Refreshing. Fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Somebody else popped up another one. I heard him. Ray? Fresh morning.
This morning.
This morning was very refreshing. That's awesome. Thank you to our worship team. And for everybody that does what they do. Any others that we haven't mentioned yet? Okay, so we've got a good idea and a good start going on here. So what about some of the other words, like, that would be not the word fresh, but that we kind of start thinking of? When I asked Anna, she said immediately it was the word new. When I said, what comes to mind when you think of fresh? She said new. Another word that came up when I was looking at the synonyms for fresh was the word clean, as in clean air. Fresh air, right? When we say fresh air, what are we talking about? It's clean. Like, you know, maybe like right now, while the sky is so full of dust from the almonds, depends on if you're an almond farmer. If you're an almond farmer, you're an almond farmer, I realize. I say it wrong, but the rest of the world says almonds. And so in the middle of that, you got all the dust that's in the air, and how nice it would be to have what we call a fresh rain. Why do we call it a fresh rain? It's not like we've never had an old rain before, but when the rain comes, it cleans the air, and it makes things fresh again. So one of the things that, if we were going to look at senses that have to do with the word fresh, would be the scent of just the fresh scent of something that is clean, right? What about the word clear? I'm going to go back to clean for a minute. What about when you think about spring cleaning? So you want to clean your house, and it has that freshness to it. While my dad was in the hospital last week, this crazy little woman that's this tall rearranged their entire living room. Now, we're talking a big old heavy sofa and chairs and tables and everything. I drop her off at night after we had visited Dad at the hospital, and I come back the next morning, and the whole living room is freshly rearranged. And then when Dad got home, he turns to Mom and says, "Did you do this by yourself?" And she just kind of, you know, like, "Yeah, of course she did it by herself. She couldn't even see over the arm of the sofa, much less be able to move it, but she did it. She wanted to give it a fresh look. She was like, "My husband's going to come home soon, and I want to have a fresh look in the house. What about painting? You want to paint a room or paint a building of some kind so that it has a freshness to it," right? The word clear, like clear light, clear insight, clear perspective. And the word new, as we said, new seasons. This is what comes to my mind when I think of the word fresh. It's the first thing that pops into my mind. So I'm going to tell you a story about my childhood here. When I was a teenage boy, I worked on farms. You either worked on farms or ranches if you lived and grew up where I did in southwestern New Mexico. If you look where the stair steps are in the state of New Mexico, that's where I grew up. And it's high elevation. It's about 4,500 feet elevation. So it's only, you know, 700 feet below Denver's height. And in that elevation, you would think that, well, it's not going to get hot during the summer. But the Southwest is very hot during the summer. And so you've got high elevation and you've got high heat. So when you're working out in the fields in the summertime, if you're a gringo, you're not smart enough to put a sombrero on like all the Latinos did. So you put on a baseball cap instead. And so your ears would blister all summer. In fact, they would blister and then they would blister over the blister. So you had blisters inside of the blisters. And you're working out in these fields. And so when it came to break time, while we're working in these fields, we would rush over to the wells. You ever drank out of a farm pump well? Raise your hand if you have, right? There's nothing like it. And Deming, New Mexico is a part of the country that it's not a big town, but there are vast lakes underneath that area of the Southwest. And so Deming's water for decades, way before having purified water was really advertised as a big deal, Deming has always advertised their water as being the purest water you can get anywhere. It's 99.9-something% pure. And they've had billboards coming in and going out of Deming for decades, ever since I was a little kid and before. And so now that water is a big deal and having it purified, Deming is one of the few places on the planet where you can drink the water straight out of the tap, and it's better than what you're going to get when you get bottled water, because then you're still going to have the natural minerals in it. They've never treated it, don't have any reason to. And going to those wells on those hot, hot summer days, and of course you're a kid, so you know that 4 hours between when you start at the beginning until lunchtime felt like 4 weeks, right? So by the time you got to lunchtime, you're so ready for that water. And when you'd go over there, you'd just take your hat off and sometimes even your shirt, and you just get in front of that pipe. You know, the water would come up like this, and the pumps were noisy. They were either electric or they petrol fuel driven, and they were really, really noisy. And the water would come up this way, and then the pipe would bend, and it would go out over and reach out over the top of the concrete irrigation ditches that then would carry the water throughout the farm. And there was this one well that was just my favorite one, that even among all the different wells on this farm that I worked on, it was a 1,500-acre farm. And among all these different wells that I would go to, there was one that was my favorite. And the pipe was like about this big, and it came out over the top of the concrete. So you had to kind of get down even into the ditch a little bit. But by the time it came to lunchtime, you didn't care if your clothes were wet. You kind of wanted to cool off. So you just get down in front of this thing and then somehow try to drink out of this huge thing. And then you certainly would fill up every container that you had with you with this fresh water. This week, I started looking at the word fresh. I started doing a word study on the word fresh. And I want to challenge you and encourage you to do this with me. This is going to be a two-week mini-series this Sunday and next Sunday. And we're going to look at what the scriptures have to say regarding the word fresh. And I tell you, it was rich this week. I wanted somebody around the whole time I was studying it because I just wanted to keep telling everybody what I was seeing and what I was finding. And then when you start looking at the relative words that come off of fresh, some of the ones that we've mentioned already this morning, and we'll look at a couple more before we're done. But looking at all of these different images and looking at what the scripture had to say was refreshing. There's a passage that we're going to emphasize as we go through this month, and it's not actually in the message this morning, but I just want to mention it, that even when it comes for us being around each other as Christ followers, the word says that when you come together, you are a refreshing to others. And the Bible makes this declaration. If you come to refresh others, you yourself will be refreshed. Right there in the word. Wouldn't that be a fresh challenge to us? In the middle of a society that wants to actually trim down the importance of it because everybody's schedules are over the top, maxed out throughout the week and the month and the year, that it feels like sometimes like being together on Sunday morning might just be one more thing on my vast schedule that I have to somehow work in there. And yet when we go back to our identity, it's not over being in a particular building that our identity comes from. But I will say this, our identity as Christ followers most certainly comes from us being together. And so Sunday morning is such a great example of that because it's the first morning on the first day of the week. So what does that make that morning? A fresh start, a fresh beginning on a fresh week. I started looking at the word fresh as it related even to the sacrifices that God taught his children, our ancestors, of how they were to bring a sacrifice. And here's what I couldn't believe. How many scriptures were in there right after one another, especially in one particular passage in Leviticus, where just boom, 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 every single verse. And here's what it was in context of. It was how the Lord was telling them he wanted his people to bring a sacrifice to him. For us, what would that be today? Our daily lives. In the New Testament, the scripture says you and I are a living sacrifice. So we don't kill an animal anymore and lay it on the altar. We get up every day and lay our lives on the altar and say, Jesus, I want to be a living sacrifice to you this week. So we're a fresh sacrifice every single day. And here's the part that was fascinating for me. It got reminded. It'd been a while since I read it, so it reminded me of it, that Moses was told by God that when Aaron was going to take instruction about how sacrifices were to be laid before the Lord's altar, he said, I want you to teach Aaron and his sons that every time they come into my presence, I want them to wash their hands and their feet every single time they come in front of me. Fresh. And the Lord says, when you bring in your first fruits even, for example, like if it was fruit, particularly the Lord used a vegetable, and he was talking about their roasting ears, you know, from corn. And he said, if you bring me your first fruits, I want you to bring me the freshest of the first fruits. Written right there in black and white. Just so fascinating. And so what that reminded me of is in the middle of a society that is... And Richard Castile will be speaking to us on the last Sunday this month. He's coming here from Phoenix, Arizona. He's well known as a very accurate prophet But he doesn't come with all the whistles and bells. Richard will not be here to draw attention to Richard. That's the last thing he would ever do or ever want. In fact, he's going to teach when he's here about the fact that really being a prophet before God, you have to remember it's one particular job. You're a voice on behalf of God. You don't make it a show about you. And when Richard comes, he's going to talk about the fact that even in bringing a prophetic word, that God has been dealing with him over the last few years in his walk, that the American church as a whole, he said, including himself, had started to just get flat, where their faith was stale. And we know stale is the opposite of fresh. When we open up a loaf of bread, we sniff it, don't we? When we open up a carton of milk, we sniff it. I sniff it every single time. I don't care if I just got it out 5 minutes ago. I sniff it again, and maybe it turned since then. Kramer, I like cream in my coffee. I sniff that to make sure it's fresh. I don't want to drink anything or put anything in my mouth that's moldy or stale. And the Lord is the same way. He doesn't want us to bring to him our stale or our tired. He wants us to come to him fresh. And so he told Aaron and his sons, you wash your hands and your feet every time you come in my presence. And so what did he tell them to do? He actually then included one of the pieces of furniture that they were supposed to put there before they went into his presence was this bronze basin that was there for one reason, so that the priests could wash their hands and feet before they went into the Lord. I want you to have a fresh attitude when you come into my presence. This was so inspiring and challenging to me, especially in light of the fact that one of the scriptures that I ran across was God speaking when on this whole series on rest that we've been doing throughout the fall. The Lord himself said that he worked for 6 days. He created for 6 days. And then he says that he then declared the Sabbath as a day of rest. And this is what it says at the end of that. And it says, and the Lord himself was refreshed. God refreshed. Now that messes with my brain. I can't even imagine God needing refreshment. And yet, here's where his refreshment came from. It came from him declaring that that day of rest was a day of fresh, that it would cause a refreshing in us. So that then spoke to me about our culture today, that the reason even as Christ followers that we don't often feel refreshed is because we're just too dang busy. We don't have room for fresh because we don't have room for Sabbath. Now this is really punching me. Like I told you when I started this series that I was going through this myself, and I thought I'd go ahead and share with you. I'm not speaking to you as someone who has this all together. I am in kindergarten learning this process of rest. I thought I knew all about it, and then I found out this summer, apparently I don't. Look at this passage. This is Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 and 2. Then he showed me, meaning the Lord Jesus. So this is John, as he's getting the revelation from the Lord. And he said, then he showed me a river of the water of life. So an angel is taking him here and showing him this. And here's what he said. A river of the water of life. Just take that phrase in. A river of the water of life. And what was it? Clear as crystal. That fresh. Clean. New. And where was it coming from? It was coming right from the throne of God. So where does our freshness come from? Where does our refreshing come from? It comes straight from the throne of God. Our society is not going to give us what we need to be refreshed. Our president, no matter who the president is not going to be able to give us what we need for fresh. quite frankly, even our spouses, our close friends, our pastors are not going to be able to give us what we need to have true freshness. Freshness, it says right here in Revelation, comes straight from the throne of God. And I love this next phrase that it adds in there. And of the Lamb. And in the middle of its streets. And on either side of the river was a tree of life, and bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielded its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So this fresh river that comes from the throne of God is where healing comes from. What a beautiful freshness to our perspective, into our image. I want to tell you, as I started studying this, I felt a new sensation go through me to pray for healing for people. Like, goodness sakes, how can you read these passages and look at what this has to say and then not feel this fresh desire to see the river of life flowing from the throne of God? It's not flowing from me. It's flowing from the throne of God. My assignment is to get in there and say, let's get to that river. Let's get you in that river. Man, I don't know about you, but that's exciting. Lori and I, in June of 2018, got to go to Glacier National Park in northwestern Montana. And it was so cool because we got all the way to the top of the mountain driving this thing. And there was one spot, because this was in late June. So there's one spot where glacier water is sliding off of this embankment. And there's nothing above it. There's no road. There's no people. There'd be no way to even get up there. And this glacier water is coming off. And so I told Lori, I said, we want to stop there. She said, sure. So, of course, I had to mess with her. So I said, well, why don't you get your camera out and get ready for a shot here? So we got to this one spot, and then I looked, and we were driving this big truck, and there was space enough for me to go all the way underneath the water. So she's got her window down. That was my idea of the camera, because I needed to do something to get her to get her window down. So she lowered her window down, and she gets ready to lean out like this, and I drove her right into that glacier water. And so she's going, you know, while we're driving down the road. And that was just fun for me. But in the middle of that, then we pulled over and stopped, and we went back, and it's like, oh my gosh, this water is so pure. It's so fresh. It's so clean. It's so pure. It's so cold. It's glacier water. But here you are in late June, so it was just wonderful to have that refreshing that was coming. And there were waterfalls like this one. This is not from that, but I found a picture online that very much looked like one of the waterfalls that we saw. And it was so cool because this wasn't coming from some dirty river somewhere that people were throwing their refrigerators and old couches in. This was coming off the top of the mountain. No human being had gotten anywhere near this. It was completely pure. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Have we ever been in a season in our nation where we need this more than now? We need fresh eyes, fresh perspective. We need freshness flowing not from us, not from our president, not from our culture and our society, and not even from the human beings that we have high regard for. We need freshness that's flowing straight from the throne of God, that is flowing straight into our lives. And here's how we get there. We follow the same model that Aaron was told. Wash your hands and your feet, and then aggressively and intentionally come get in my presence. God is always going to ask us to participate in the supernatural. And our action is something natural that he then participates in the supernatural. But he always will expect human beings to play an action step of some kind. And so God tells Aaron just to put basically a bronze bucket out there. And I want you to do this very simple thing. I want you to wash your hands and your feet before you walk in there. And here's the cool thing, or not cool, actually, the scary thing, is the Lord says, if you come into my presence and you don't do that first, oh, by the way, here's the little catch, you're going to die. Little caveat that might be important before you walk in there. So that's how serious the Lord takes us coming to Him with a fresh heart, with fresh perspective. I started thinking, what do our hands and feet represent? They represent our day, our week, our month. They represent what we have intentions to do. It also represents where we've been. We're supposed to take all of that and take it in front of the Lord and just rinse it off. It doesn't say anything about them having soap. It doesn't say anything about, you know, make sure you scrub your knuckles for 15 seconds. None of that. He just said, I want you to come into my presence in a certain way. I want you to come in with an attitude of fresh. And if you approach me that way, the rivers of life that flow from the throne of God and of the Lamb are flowing back to you. And you know what the book of Revelation is. That's the end of the book. So we're talking about, this is the preeminence of God saying, this is just how things are. In other words, it's saying, in my organization, this is how we roll. In Acts chapter 2, verse 17, is what you're looking at right here. I want you to look at another passage with me. In Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And then he did this. And he separated the light from the darkness. God is in the business of making perspective fresh and clean and visible. He wants us to see things in a certain light. And so from the beginning, he separated it so that we could see the difference between the two. And that includes, as Christ followers in the New Testament, that we would be able to even see the difference between light and darkness, even in the spirit world. Psalm 36, verse 9, it says this. This was a fresh scripture for me. For with you, this is speaking of the Lord, for with you is the fountain of life. And your light, for with you is the fountain of life. And in your light, we see light. Fountain of life, in your light, we see light. In other words, we can only really see once we get close to the Lord and find out, oh, I guess I can see. We see things that we couldn't see before. Jesus made this statement often, and narrators made this statement often, about scales falling off their eyes in the New Testament. Well, they weren't physical scales, they were spiritual. Paul's prayer even at one point is that we would pray against the principalities and powers that attempt to have a stronghold around people's minds that prevent them from knowing Christ. So fresh eyesight, fresh perspective, fresh vision. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13, but everything exposed by the light becomes visible, Paul said. And everything that is illuminated, he says, becomes a light. So when Jesus illuminates our lives, beginning from the time that you first gave your life to him, you became a light. And the more illuminated our life becomes, the brighter light we become. That was really encouraging and fresh for me. In Acts chapter 12, verse 7, an angel appeared to Peter while he was in prison. And it says that the angel appeared, then a light shone, then Peter woke up, Then the chains fell off Peter, and then the angel gives Peter his refreshed assignment. Peter's in prison. He doesn't know what's going to happen tomorrow. He doesn't know when this is going to change. He doesn't know if he's in there for the rest of his life. And an angel comes in there, says that when the angel came, then it says a light shone in the room. There's so many metaphors off of that, it's not even funny, right? So he's in the room, and partly I'm thinking even just the practicality of it, if he's going to tell Peter to get up and walk out of the room, he's going to need to see where he's going. And it says that the light shone, the angel nudges Peter, tells him to wake up, then the chains that Peter was locked up in, that he was bound up in, which was his perspective at the time. I'm in this. I have no control of these circumstances. I don't know if or when they're going to improve. Light from heaven comes in. He gets prophetically spoken to by an angel. Then the chains fall off. I've never unpacked that particular passage of scripture before, but I intend to after this week. Then the chains fall off. And then the angel gives Peter refreshed instructions about what he's supposed to go do next. Now you talk about, if we're in seasons of our life, or Lord, I just need fresh direction from you. I need a refreshing of my assignment. I need you to speak to me. Boom. Imagine the rest of Peter's life after that. Well, all I know is I was locked up, trapped up, and stuck up. And all of a sudden, God comes, light comes, chains fall off, and I get a fresh perspective on my assignment while he walks me out of the prison. Wow. How would you like to have that? Acts chapter 26, verse 16, Jesus says this to Paul. Paul is narrating to Festus his storyline of what happened in Acts 9 when Paul was knocked off his donkey and Jesus presented himself. So Paul is now going back and giving account for that. And he says that this is what Jesus told him. Paul says, this is what Jesus said to me. He says, now, get up and stand on your feet. So imagine that day after Paul is knocked off of his donkey and he's blinded. And we know he stayed blind for several days. And other people that were there heard a voice talking, but they didn't know what the voice said particularly. But now Paul is going back and he's saying, well, this is what he said. Jesus said to him, now get up and stand on your feet. I would say that in the season that we're in our nation right now, as Christ followers, we need to get up and stand on our feet. We need to hear Jesus freshly tell us that. Get engaged again. Get back into fresh. And then he said, I have appeared to you to appoint you. I haven't appeared to you to just help you snuggle down in your blanket and be comfortable. Jesus said, I appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. Man, powerful verse. Speaking of clearing from spiritual darkness, John chapter 1, verse 9 says this, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's the drum roll introduction of Jesus coming in. Isn't that amazing? Well, we're going to put a hold on where we're heading in this two-week series right here. And I would ask if two very sweet ladies that have amazing voices would come up here and rescue you from me leading this song. But there's a really cool song that is from the book of Lamentations. In fact, I'm just going to throw that verse up there because you'll actually have words to it this way. So next week, we're going to look at the word new. This is a quote directly from Lamentations 3. Yeah, you guys are just going to stand right there? Okay. From Lamentations chapter 3, and it says, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never end. They are new when? Come on. Every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Would you stand with me? We're going to close in song and sing this.
The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning, great is your faithfulness.
Lord, we leave this campus that represents your fresh mercies that are new every morning. And we go out into our week. We ask that you would refresh us every day this week with your new mercies. And as we make the commitment to you this morning, Lord, and if this is your heart, then let the Lord see it by a show of hands where you would just turn yourself into a yield sign. But don't do it because I'm suggesting it or because we're in church. Do it if you mean it. That this week you would say to him, Lord, I'm going to come to you by washing my hands and my feet, not physically, but in the spirit. And maybe you would even feel like, you know what, I'm going to do it physically. Then I'm going to wash my hands and feet this week. But certainly, the idea behind it is I will come into your presence with a fresh hunger, a fresh thirst, a fresh commitment to you while I ask you to refresh me with the waters of life that come from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, New Hope. Have a great week.